times reading the paper, and my kids come walking in from school, "Daddy, would you do this with me?" And I'd lay some good one on them. And the real truth is, I just don't want to do that. But it won't say that. Wait till later. And boy, you pray to God later won't come and they'll forget it. And they don't forget it, but you don't do it. And you know what you tell your kids in doing that? Lying is acceptable. It's an acceptable way of life. Sometimes you just go ahead, sister.
I want to say something about Sister Ann. I live 15 years after her first story. The other day, we were in the house of Natalia. One of them was in the kitchen. It was at the medicine conference. And we were cooking eggs in our room. Look, in the first place, it's not so good.
You're not supposed to cook eggs in your room. Should I ask how she what she was doing? But maybe I should. Sister has now dropped 3 eggs down in the air conditioner. It sounds to me like a teenage prank. But she's really trying to keep the eggs cool, aren't
she?
Raw eggs.
This is 15 years after her first.
Yeah.
You know what she does now? She wrote a letter to the authorities and told them she had done that. They might be interested in investigating before the leak has to be turned off.
God, and those eggs start. Thank you, sister. Yeah. Sister dropped 3 raw eggs down in the air conditioning duct. I'm not even going to ask. I'm sure it was an accident. Now, can you imagine, folks, in this hotel, when winter comes and they turn the heat on, or not even when winter comes, when those eggs rot? And they start blowing that in all the rooms. But now Sister wrote them a letter and told them. But just, you know...
I had to struggle with myself to write the letter, though.
I know you did, Sister. To admit that you had done something that stupid. Can you imagine admitting to some guy that runs a big hotel that you're so stupid to put eggs in them? Yeah, you hear that? And on the door is a sign that says "No food allowed in the room." Now, all of you, sister, don't worry about all these folks laughing at you. They've done worse. Everybody in here just a laughing at sister. But if you'd just tell, big sign there, "No food allowed in the room." You got 2 motel owners behind you, and they just cringing. Oh, God, yeah, I had people like that. Well, maybe not the eggs, but you could tell us some stories that curl your hair, couldn't you?
Right.
Well, David, don't you think that's an improvement since 15 years?
It is wonderful. It is wonderful. You know, sister just wrote the owner, whoever it was, and said, "I'm a cheater." That's what you admitted. You said, "No food in the room," and I had food in the room. Not only that, somehow, and I don't know how, I don't know how, sister does. I got eggs, raw eggs, in the air conditioner duct. Now, you know how this accidentally happens, I can't figure it out.
Mine's finished for a week.
Johnny says it'll put him out of business for a week. Guy will lose $10,000-$20,000, you know, and... like we didn't know. Well, let me see. You know, here's a guy that's got so much money, he don't know how much he's got. But he owes the guy money. Well, let me see. That's a lie. Well, sure you did. I know that. I've done the same thing. I don't want this to get distressing on anybody. Now we're going to find out that our whole day is made up of this stuff. Husbands and wives really get into it. Guys and girls. Guys, you think what you'd tell a girl. Tell, Johnny, some of the war stories you've told girls about what you were. Yeah. God, think about it, folks. The stories we'll tell us. Well, what do you do, David? Well, you know, I'm a war hero. I may not say it like that, but if you said, listen to me long enough, I'm sitting by a war hero.
I'm a chef manager instead of a cook.
That's right. I'm a sanitary engineer. That's a garbage man. What? A garbologist. What do you do, George? I manage a motel. And you really find out George cleans the pool. You know, that's us, isn't it? I could sit down and talk with one of you nuns, and I'd think you'd run the place you were in. But once I got there, I'd find out there's somebody else thinks they run it. And I'll pick on your sister, because I think y'all can take it. That's right. I could sit down by you on an airplane, and I think, my God, this lady's had the largest order in the world. And I'd get there and find out that somebody else thinks they had it. And it might not be exactly what you say, but it's what you infer.
David, this is what a seminarian said to the rector. He went up to him and said, should I take the car to New York? And the rector said, oh, no, go by train. So that's how I got to New York. See, instead of asking to go, he knew the rector would say no. So he said, should I take the car? And he said, no, go by train.
We're something, aren't we, folks? And me and you will sit here today and say, David, what's happened to our kids? That's what's happened to our kids. We ate the sour grapes and it set their teeth on edge, and nobody's telling them they don't have to be like that. Or somebody break that chain, you know. But you never, one of the things that I've discovered about these kinds of problems, and I've discovered it working with addicts, it blew my mind. I never considered myself an addict. I never was addicted to any kind of substance. Well, other than I used to really smoke the cigarettes, but 20 years ago I gave them up. And a little while back, I started working with drug addicts, people on crack and alcohol, and I got to listen to these guys. And I recognized me and what they were saying, but I wasn't addicted to a substance, I was addicted to a process. We're addicted to lying. And the only way the beginning of an addict controlling his problem is to, any of you work with addicts? What's one of the first things they got to do? Admit they got a problem. Ta-da! I'm an alcoholic. Now we've got something to work with. As long as we're saying I'm not an alcoholic, as long as I'm saying I'm not a liar, folks, I could stand up in the Senate and ask all the liars to raise their hand and I wouldn't get any raising. I'd get some, but I wouldn't get many. Can you imagine if I stood up in the Senate of the United States of America and said, I'd like all the liars to raise their hand.
If you are so bad,
They had to have the sergeant at arms carry. I'd be hoisted up out of that jerk doing coming and asking questions like that. You mean, are you saying that usually when we lie, is it? Oh, yes. Oh, I agree with that.
I think it's an easier way for me, and it's easier
for them. All right, he said many times he finds his... Yeah, he says many times he finds himself lying so he won't hurt somebody's feelings. I think that's always the case. But most of the times it's you're not wanting to hurt your feelings. Now, you might do it not to hurt somebody else's feelings too, but you better really examine that. That may be the biggest lie you're telling. Because, listen, that's what we're getting here with this definition of sin. It is fleeing from the pain, suffering, and brokenness of ourself and of others. Now, I don't want you to forget others. See, when I read that first passage, the first hour, all of that was fleeing from the pain, suffering, and brokenness of others. When somebody was hungry, you didn't feed them. When they were naked, you didn't clothe them. When they were in prison, you didn't go and visit them. See, that's sin too. See, it's not just fleeing from my pain, suffering, and brokenness, but somebody else's. So, for instance, if I would look at somebody else and say, I can't tell them the truth, it will hurt them, why will it hurt them? Because they're in pain, they're suffering, and they're broken. Brother, you better believe that's the truth. One of the things, do we do somebody a favor, and I know there's a right way to do this and a wrong, I'm not. Are we doing somebody a favor when we don't bring it to their attention what they are? Why, we sure don't, sister. But there's many people. The hurt's already there. You know, you ever hear Charlie say, people, Charlie loves it when somebody says, but you can't talk like that, you'll turn somebody off. And Charlie's pat answer to that, brother, you can't turn somebody off that's already off. Off is off. And somebody that's turned on, you can't turn them off. You just forget that. All right, now you think of that in the same respect that you just did. A person that you're saying, I'm not going to hurt them because they're hurting. That really doesn't make any sense. They're already hurting. Don't anybody think that there's proper ways to do these things now. You know, I'm not telling you to start running around calling everybody liars. I'm doing what I'm doing in a specific context. Everybody came here to hear something. Well, say it under your business. I've tried to get that honest with people. Well, you can say that. If they're gonna listen to me. Listen to Paul's definition of love. Love is patient and kind. It's long-suffering. It doesn't get offended. Now, a person that gets offended, they're not loving anyway. So you're not. There's not really anything going on there. You just think there are. When we're kidding around with each other, you know, trying to pat each other on the back, and we say, that's not a friend. We're a mess. Go ahead, sister.
That definition is excellent, but in the light of what you've shared this morning so far, I would add to it that my fleeing is because I, either for myself or for others, have neglected to deal with loving.
Mm-hmm. I agree. See, I think when you... If I had to give the only cure for sin, it's to love. That's the cure.
Either myself or somebody else. That's not loving, and I'm running from
That's exactly right.
From the loving. I'm running from what it costs to do that thing, which...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are fleeing from what, from the cost, or you're fleeing from whatever it will cost you to admit that about yourself or another person. You know, we, for instance, one of the things we'll do to a person that's hungry or a person that's living different than us and they don't have what we have, we'll say they don't deserve it. That is fleeing. That's not being willing to pay the price. See, we'll, but now if we'll admit what we are, let me give you a good example. This happened in this office last time. Somebody told me this very story. It involved an alcoholic, and this person, this alcoholic, came to this person, and they wanted some help from him, and the person began to say, well, I can't help you in the situation you're in. Now, this is the person that's telling me the story. And the person said, David, he said, I was in the middle of saying that, and I thought, my God, how can I judge this person when I'm 150 pounds overweight? See, I want to tell you, if you get a grip of what I'm saying, it affects the way you treat others. Here's one thing that it'll do. It'll stop you from justifying your action. That's one of the things that I saw in my life as I began to do this, is I can remember, for instance, grabbing a guy in my office by the collar and the seat of the pants and walking him out the door. I mean, he had pestered me till I just couldn't take it anymore. I mean, one day he had just, I'd ask him to leave and ask him to leave and he wouldn't leave. And I'll never forget coming back and sitting down, and I said, Lord, would you please help me to know what to do in that situation? I don't know what to do. The only thing I knew to do was that. I remember when I would have justified it to everybody there. Now listen, when somebody's come in and you've done this, that, and the other, then you go ahead and boot them out. No. My prayer was, Lord, will you show me how I can do something will help that person? I just didn't know what to do. That's what will happen when you start, when what I'm talking about begins to ring, you'll stop justifying your actions. That's one of the greatest horrors we're in. We'll have people sit around and say, tell why they don't help certain people. How about if we would just admit, because I don't know how to help them? See, that's another one of the lies we'll say. We want to be perfect. And what we should say is, I don't know how to help them. For instance, the little kid that's wild in the classroom and they've had their hand blistered, the blisters raise up. I want to tell you that's not the answer. I don't know that you know the answer, but that's not the answer. That's what produces Hitler's. Ears being twisted half off your head. Ah! Yes, sister. Oh, yeah.
Then I had to face the responsibility of my actions. I couldn't, in my mind, say, well, I'll never find out, so it's
all
wrong. And there was nobody
else
but me.
That's right.
So I had to say,
yeah, I did it. That's right. I did it. There wasn't anybody else here. Sister was asking, what about diplomacy? I think, let's do it in the Christian context. Me and you are brothers and sisters in Christ, and there should be no diplomacy. I see you doing something wrong, I should go to you, and I should say something. Now, the local pagan out there that's doing the same thing, they know you're saying a thing to him. He don't believe like me. But I should go to you. Matter of fact, Jesus says when that happens, go to the person. If they won't listen to you, Go, two of you. Go. See, that's the whole, I don't ignore it. That isn't diplomacy or making it look like something it isn't. It may be diplomacy, but it's not of God. So there's a different way that you treat a person that says they believe as you believe and a person that doesn't. A totally different way. For instance, Paul, when he's talking about, I should never require that the people out there work to eat. Jesus said, if somebody's hungry, feed them. Now, we see the very same on Paul's lips, though, the words, if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, and that's he's talking to a group of Christians where, you know, they're sitting around, Jesus is going to come back the next day, and I can see some of these guys have said, yeah, and I'm going to sit right on here on my death till he comes back. I'm not working anymore. And Paul says, yeah, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. But we'll take that. I hear people use that not to feed certain people. Well, there is a difference how you treat a... We should be boldly honest with our Christian brothers and sisters. Not beat around the bush. We should be honest. Why? Yeah. Well, try, and I think that's the first, that's the only thing you can begin with is just what you begin with and say, now, Lord, how do I stop portraying this and teaching this in my actions? See, you. That's one of the toughest things that I had to do with my children. It's just what you're talking about, is when I could finally say to my kids, you know, kids, I'm just a grown-up one of you. And when I say something, now you got children of your own? All right. Imagine a dad saying this to his kids. When I tell you something, that don't mean it's right. It's me. I can remember when I finally admitted that to my kids. All my life, I'd live like, if I said it, it's right. No, one day I said to them, when I say it, it's me. My decision is mine. It's the decision I know to make. It doesn't mean it's right, but I'm your father. And you should obey my decision. It's not a matter of whether it's right or wrong. It's just my decision. It's the decision I know to make. I'm sure my kids have asked me if they could do certain things, and I just couldn't find it in me to let them do it. That there was nothing wrong with it. But I didn't have any other decision. That's the only decision I could give. And I started telling my kids that. I've thought about this for 2 days, and I can't tell you you can go do it. I don't have it in me to tell you. See, we've got too much into this eating from the tree. Of good and bad, what's good and what's bad, and me and you don't know. That's what I'm gonna. Before this week's over, you just hang on, and I'm gonna convince you, me and you don't know what's good and what's bad. But we can love. See, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. I can tell you, most of you can look back through your life, and you'll see things you thought were bad. Today, you know they're good. They did good things. It's a problem we have. And it won't make us, when I start talking like this, we won't end up being vegetables either. It makes it, matter of fact, it makes life it makes life more open, it makes life more interesting. You get out of this dualistic attitude, it's either yes or no. There's thousands of answers to every question. Thousands. Thousands of answers. Some I've never considered. I should try to consider them. When a Bobby Riley acts like that, and I act like that, how is there some other way that I could act that would produce something else? You know, we don't... we've really, I think we use such a small part of our mind. There's a lot of solutions, and we've never considered but a couple that we've been taught. You know, there's only one or two things to do. One of them's good and one of them's bad. And there's thousands of things to do. There's as many solutions to problems as there are people, at least. And I've seen some, and I've learned, and I've especially seen some other people that have learned to do different things in situations than I ever thought of, and they produce good. And what I would have done might have produced fear or animosity or something like that. And I've seen people take the same situation and produce something good out of it. And I believe that's one of the things Jesus was calling us to do. When somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. He wasn't telling us to be masochistic and people to beat up on us. But he was telling us that you overcome evil with good. There's something to do to overcome that. There's other solutions. You know, Jesus is killed. He says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He became a blessing, not a curse. That's about the best thing a man can do that has both hands and feet tied down. Can you imagine you're in that shape and you're dying and your only thought is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? Can you imagine that's what we'd be thinking about? Lord Jesus, help us to love as you love. Help us to truly know ourselves so that we can know you. And help us to understand that just because we think we're following you doesn't mean that we really are. Amen.
Amen.